Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Thomas.
And I'm Matthew.
Hey, guys, welcome back. It's returning guests. We're going to get to introduce them, Chris. Chris, how was your weekend?
What did I do? It was good. It was good. I had a good weekend, surprisingly. I had to track down a couple of, you know, rabbit's feet, but other than that, I'm good.
Oh, wrong movie, man. Wrong movie.
I'm prepping for the next one.
Oh. Well, we got to finish this one first.
I'm good with this.
Well, our guests, our guests this week are returning guests of the show and friends of the pod, so let me introduce them real quick. If you've listened to Critstorm, you'll know our first guest and my voice, but only if I talk like this. But let's focus on him for now. He's a never-ending podcaster and friend of the show, the Tower of Power, Thomas Howe.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me again. It's so great to be back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. And our next guest. Do you like fireworks? Do you like bugs? No, I'm not talking about the Picnic Minute. I'm talking about our next guest from the Roughneck Minute and the current podcast, the Independence Day Minute, Matt Soto.
Oh my God, it's his music. It's hidden.
It's his music. You guys like your intro music?
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, no problem. Welcome back. We're on Minute 101. It's our second triple digits episode, Chris.
Ooh.
Yeah, woo.
Finally met it. We're in the home stretch.
Oh, we're in the woo zone now.
We're in the woo zone.
So
the
we're like centennials. Ooh. That's awesome.
Yes, we're in the part of the movie that does not stop.
Yes, it's all woo
for the
all
next
the time.
15 minutes.
Can't yeah, stop. You pretty much won't go stop. Hold on to your seats.
Yeah, you only need the edge of your seat because you're only going to need that part of it because the rest of it's going to be, I don't know, popcorn?
Or a small motorcycle seat will work too.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Small motorcycle seat. This is Minute 101. Minute 101 begins with Hugh Stamp dead on the floor, covered in duct tape, and ends with Ethan waving Billy off. Unfortunately, this transition is at the exact moment.
Yeah.
From last week, last week we talked about this. It actually ends. That's my first one. We talked about that it ends on the exact moment that, Ambrose pulls
the
Stamp's
mask.
The mask off. So I'm like, oh, we don't get like a pure cut mask move. So this minute we just
get one
see,
later, though.
Yes, we do. We get, Stamp is dead and, Ambrose is taking it badly.
He's taking it very badly.
He's not thrilled about this.
Now, I remember being on for a really hot minute that you needed an extra guest for where he was looking at, you know, possibly cutting off a finger of Mr. Stamp right here. If he was so, you know, not very happy with him at that point, you know, willing to cut off his finger, why is he so upset now?
That was a power move. This was a mistake.
Okay.
and he was also his always going to be their guy, you know? No matter what happened with Nia or something, he always had Hugh to fall back on, you know? And now
he's
gone.
His fallback guy.
So it's an abusive, really bad relationship between these two.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This guy looks like he just lost his wife.
I mean, he did.
He did.
Where's Rachel?
Kind of thing.
Where's Rachel?
Oh my gosh, he is so upset.
He is.
When he does this camera angle, at first I thought, did they use a fisheye lens? I'm like, no, they're in a round room.
Yeah, they're in a round room.
And I'm like, oh no, the room is round because they're in the slab house, which is like an old fort. Oh, they're in the set at this point. So we don't know if this is what it actually looks like inside, but it's, I was thinking, okay, first, is it fisheye? No. Second, is it a split diopter? No. Nope. I was like, oh, I don't know why this scene. It's actually not. It's a pretty normal, but we do get up close to his denim suit.
Yeah.
This is like the last action shot we'll see of the denim suit. We'll see it in a couple of minutes when he's brandishing a gun at everybody in the room, basically getting his feelings out. And the
it's
music
therapy.
Yeah. And the music we talked about last week comes in for its climactic end.
Mm-hmm.
And before we go into this, since guys, this is Matt, you were on for one episode. We didn't really introduce you other than thanks for coming on and helping us out in a pinch. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate, you know, we appreciate it. What is your relationship to Mission Impossible 2?
I want to say, I don't know if it's been said many times. I'm pretty sure at this moment it probably has because we're in the 100s. But it was the Limp Bizkit music video that was tied to this movie.
So that's how you, did you watch this movie because of it or not watch the movie and only know the music?
Technically, I watched the movie because of it, because at the time in the early 2000s, late 1990s, I was kind of into new metal, like with Korn and Limp Bizkit and all that other like weird music videos that were on MTV TRL and everything like that. And I was like, oh, hey, he's got an album that's coming out that's supposed to be with this movie. Well, I've never seen the first movie, but let me check out the second movie, see how that is. Oh, that's cool. They're doves everywhere. So, yeah, this is actually technically the first Mission Impossible movie I ever saw.
That's a weird one.
It is.
It's not the weirdest, because I know people that have seen, we have some guests that were on, Jarf was on a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, I've seen 2 and 5. And we're like,
yeah, I was like, what?
We're like, that's the weirdest
combination
of ones to see. Cause I'm like, can you imagine seeing, Rogue Nation and this one? And I'd just be like, what? That's two different. I mean, there's, and Rogue Nation is basically a part one to Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It would be so disjointed.
Yeah. And I mean, at the time I'm like 14 years old and everything like that. I'm thinking to myself, this is pretty dope. You know, pulling masks off. There are different dudes. There's some kind of, you know, evil chemical going around. They're in Australia. Hey,
that girl's not wearing a bra. It's awesome.
And I was like, yeah, this movie is appealing to my young, you know, actually pubescent age, you know, at that time. You don't mind.
Your soft brain.
Oh, dude, it was soft as hell.
Thomas, what about you? What is this movie for you?
Well, I grew up kind of watching the Mission Impossible TV show and really liked it. So when the series started coming out, I was completely on board. I loved Tom Cruise. I was a big Top Gun fan, so seeing him in it really like struck a chord. And then so when this one came out, I was lined up and ready to go see it right away. I wanted to see how the story continued. And it disappointed a little bit and slowed down my verve for the series, but yeah, I was definitely lined up ready to watch this one.
Okay, good. It's good to have people on that are proper fans. Now, are you big enough fans? Molly Balin was on recently, and she had one of the songs from this movie in her wedding. So that's pretty hardcore.
That is pretty hardcore. I cannot say that I am that hardcore.
I don't think I've had – I'm trying to think if I've ever used a Mission Impossible theme song for any like bit that I've done, like with like little videos and things. Mostly I use Star Wars stuff. I use a lot of Star Wars. Never.
I think I've actually used the main background, like the dun 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 dun, dun for training videos.
That makes sense.
Yeah, for IT training videos of all things. When I was over in Italy, I was training people on internet security stuff, and we used that for like certain parts of it.
That's cool. Well, good. You guys are both proper fans. Just so you guys know, I listened to the music a bunch of times. There are words to it. You have to listen really closely. At the end of this episode, I'm going to put the music that's played in this episode. And I was like trying to like, I listened to it like, I don't know, 8 times, 9 times without looking. And here's what I've got. It's like, the people, where is he? What are they? Where are they? Got it. The vial, they've handled it. And I was like, are they really saying what's happening in this scene?
That's like that bit from a Family Guy when what's his name is like narrating everything that they do.
That's what I thought. I was like, is this a joke or am I inferring? I mean, it's not. They're going, rah, 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 rah. But it sounds like they're saying, the people, where is he?
Well, it's like, what are they? Deadpool 2 when the Juggernaut song.
Yeah, the Juggernauts song. And I'll put on the end. I will play what I hear, and then I will sing what I hear. and we can all.
It's going to be one of those things, because you sing it, nobody will ever hear it differently.
Yeah,
because
they're going to ruin the movie. Like Jeff Ferry ruined Star Wars for me, that Luke, when he's looking at the twin sons, Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen are boning down in the moisture farm. And I'm like, oh, no, this is, I could never watch this scene.
I mean, again. What else are they going to do on the Tatooine? It's like, there's nothing around.
They thought he was going to Tashi Station for power converters.
Exactly.
They didn't know.
It's all like sweaty and, well, as long as it isn't humid. I mean, it's a dry
True.
Heat.
It's a dry heat.
This piece is actually the continuation of Bear Island from like 2 weeks ago.
This is the 4 minute or 6 minute.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a big break in the music in the movie, that there's just some ambient noise, but the piece on the soundtrack goes from the dove bit to a couple of ambient beats, and then about a minute and 45 seconds in, it goes to this big reveal.
I'm calling it the people.
The people. Where is he?
Love it. I love that they mentioned the vials.
Yeah.
Got it. The vials.
No. I specifically do hear he's got it. And, you know, where is
they
he?
They do. They say it.
It is super weird. And, yeah, I mean, like, I maybe it is, like, kind of like the suggestive nature of you telling us that. But it sounds just like it. I mean, like, yeah, he's got it. Where is he? Kind of. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm like, it's awesome. and coming out of this awesome song, we get an awesome, like, what a great shot. Thank you, Richard Roxbury, for giving us one last awesome. You get to be the hero for 4 seconds of the rest of this movie before you pull off this mask and Ethan Hunt is underneath.
That mm-hmm. horrible, horrible mask reveal. It's like right there with that Titanic one where they're running away from the water and the mask doesn't look quite right. Richard Roxbury.
Oh, the digital mask they've put on them?
Yeah, Richard Roxbury's head is like a little too big for Tom Cruise's body if you look at the shot.
It's almost a straight cut. If you look from second 14 to second 15 is the exact second it, because Richard Roxbury puts his hand up to his face.
Yeah.
And as he pulls, it's already off his head.
Yeah. But if you look at the start of the shot where he's running back when the doves are in the shot on the right, you can see the head is obviously way too big for the body.
Oh, yeah.
it's funny.
You did go
a
little bit too fast, though, because you missed the epic horrible relay runner as he's running with a baton. At second 5, it looks like he's doing relay running with a baton when he's holding the canister.
Yeah,
the metal hot
only
dogs.
Focused
yeah.
on that. Yeah, he's like, he's got the horrible form, and he's not going to pass that.
But it's a really good run that he's doing there. I mean, he's approximating the Tom Cruise run.
Yeah, so that's hard.
He does
to
a pretty good job. That is hard to do.
This is one of my favorite scenes in the movie between Ambrose screaming and Hugh running. It makes me so happy. I don't know how Tom. I don't know how fake Stamp got over to the Chimera and the Bellerophon, because in the last minute he wasn't near that. He didn't like saunter over to the desk. So that was a pretty good little thing. Just to everybody, I'm sure while Ambrose is screaming, he went over and grabbed it. But it's just funny. Just makes me laugh. I'm just like, can you imagine him like, excuse me, sorry, Mr. McCloy, I got to get by. Like trying to get to the hot dog tubes, and then grabs them and runs. So, yeah, this is the big reveal. This is the whole reason why Stamp had a boo-boo, had his hoo-boo, as we call it, the hue-boo.
The hue-boo.
And then we go to an outside shot with Tom Cruise running inside to, I assume, escape. He's running outside. They're on top of Bear Island, and there's Billy. Billy's in the helicopter.
Screaming.
Screaming. I mean, we've joked on this podcast that Billy screams. It's not made up, guys.
It's all real. He's full
he's
tilt
like,
screaming.
Hey,
don't miss Matt's reference here. There's the doves. More doves. Yes. We got to have more doves.
There's always more doves.
Oh, of course.
These are the doves left over that didn't die in the explosion.
Yeah, they're just hanging out. They made a nest in there because they were left over.
These are the doves. These are the survivors.
And I'm thinking this is their plan. This was their plan all along. Ethan was going to grab the vials, get out of there, and they were going to pick him up in the helicopter up there. Why didn't they like secure the location as soon as they knew he had him? You know?
Yeah. Why didn't I? Like, what did they want? Luther to rappel on a rope? Come on.
Why didn't they get a better option for Ethan to grab on or to mount the helicopter than Luther's hand.
Exactly. I mean, there's a skid right there. I mean, if he wants to, he can Captain America the damn thing and, you know, just pull on it.
Right. Take my hand.
They should have had a ladder. They should have known they weren't going to be tall enough.
The classic rope ladder scene would have been great here.
Yeah.
I take it like a rope ladder would have been great. He could just grabbed onto it and they just yank him away.
And they pull him off just shooting, like, you know, what is it, Rocketeer and everything like that. The Zeppelin goes down, you know, end of movie. It's great.
Yep. And instead he reaches for Luther and gets shot at. And I guess Billy decided to bring the non-bulletproof helicopter. Is that considered bulletproof that the bullets don't go through it?
I would say it's armored, if anything. I wouldn't say it's bulletproof, but he doesn't want... maybe the glass isn't bulletproof?
Maybe.
And bulletproof doesn't matter a whole lot when you have the door wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, of course, yes. Nothing's bulletproof when it's open to the air.
You're just trusting that everybody is going to be a horrible shot.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness they don't hit Luther, because he tries right here.
Yeah.
This guy is like the worst shot in the world. He's just spraying.
For the next five minutes, everybody that's not Tom Cruise is a horrible shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, except for that one guy that, you know, eventually hits Luther, but spoilers that.
This is like every kid who plays video games. Yeah. He just is just.
He's spraying and praying. I mean, look at, like, what is it? Second 30. Well, it's coming out pretty soon. Give me a second. It was a 42, 43. He's just left and right, spraying and praying. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? No, that's... You're not some... Oh, gosh. He's a budget mercenary, if anything.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the biosite. These are biosite security guards.
Okay, so that there makes
sense.
These
are not actually mercenaries. The mercenaries are all in those Toyota Corollas driving around.
Gotcha. Okay, so this makes total sense now. So, yeah, security guard probably is going to spray and pray and... not, like, take aim and fire directly at Ethan's head. Okay.
I mean, Ethan's right there. He's, like, 10 feet away.
Sorry, wherever Rick is out there, he's going to be very happy that we mentioned the Hecklerkopf MP5 A2 being used in this scene.
Hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah. It's not being shot well, but it is being used.
It is.
I want to know how Tom Cruise or how Ethan hid all that hair underneath that mask.
I assume it was also in his face. Like, that's why Hugh didn't say anything. He was just like, he's so annoyed because, like, the mask is, like, covered, like, with, like, when you pull it off, it looks like the man in the Iron Mask. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Remember when Leonardo DiCaprio comes out and literally his hair has grown over his eyes inside of the mask and it's, like, on his face?
Yeah. I'm like, blah, blah, blah.
The people, where is he?
Yeah, that's there's a shot at he's second 47. He's got it. There's a shot at 7:47 where his hair is just like all flayed out, and there's no way he got all that underneath a mask.
Yeah, if he had this underneath a mask, for how long has he had this mask on, give or take?
A minute and a half.
A couple of minutes.
Okay, well, even still, that hair is way too flowy to be, you know, that's not mask hair for sure. I mean,
doesn't have mask head. No,
no, especially second 32, second 33. His hair is. Flowy. It looks like he just used Pantene Pro-V or something like that. L'Oreal. It is. It's got volume and it's got, you know, it's soft and has volume at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the third iteration of the rare guitar solo MI theme song comes back. We got it beginning of the movie. We got it during the when they went to Sydney and the team was being assembled. And then now we get it again. This is the third time they've played this, you know, new rock.
I mean, if you're going to have Limp Bizkit, you're going to use him, you know?
You're going to use new rock, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And this whole time we've been on this island, Chris and I have joked about these stupid canisters everywhere. Yeah. And we were like, what is it, helium? Are they storing helium? Like, what is this?
It's like ridiculous.
We finally see what they are. They are biohazardous waste containers. So what happens next is even more confusing in this scene. After Ethan dispatches with the guy shooting at him, well, he doesn't dispatch with him. He does a cool flip in the air and jumps and shoots the hazardous waste, and the hazardous waste blows up. like a lot.
Because that's what hazardous waste does. Don't you know that's why they have it in containers?
It's constantly under pressure like that. And yeah, if you fire a bullet into it, the spark is going to create an explosion.
I like how the warning label on these is basically a target.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they blow up. It blows up part of the hole that the dude was standing in, the biosite guard. Ethan rolls to his left and basically is like, well, that plan's scrapped. I'm going to, you go get Naya, or go, I'll meet you, kind of thing. And this minute ends with him like waving off the guys. The cool thing is this gave us an automatic. I love that he changed not only the clothes and the face of Hugh. He now gets to wear Hugh's cool ass outfit.
Yeah.
If you're wondering in earlier minutes, why is Hugh dressed so nicely? It's because later on our star will be wearing those exact same clothes in a much smaller size. Mm. And so
at first the jacket looks really big on him, but then it seems to shrink slowly, over the course of the next few minutes.
It must have gotten wet.
It's like the Spider-Man uniform. It just kind of, or the Back to the Future jacket.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Size, fit.
Your jacket is now dry.
We should keep track of this week. This is the first explosion of the week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, explosion number one. Let's keep a tally of this. Have we had other explosions yet in this, other than Luther blowing up the Van Nubbin?
We had the door 2 weeks ago at Bear Island door.
You're right. The shot, the dove shot. Yeah.
And then we had Ethan blowing the explosive to get out of biosite.
Yep. Let's keep up with this for the rest of the week. What we'll do now is we are going to go into Tech of the Ep. So we're all going to do a pretty awesome front flip in there. So I need everyone to actually, can everyone do their best? I just shot Hugh, my lover / best henchman. Can you give me a no? Everyone just do it whenever they want.
No!
No! We've all gotten out our emotions. We're feeling much better.
Yep.
We're now going to do some techs of the eps. So let's start with Thomas. Thomas, tell me some techs of the eps you think would be interesting.
It's got to be the satellite tower, right? This beautiful satellite tower that they have set up.
I mean, you think it's got to be a lot of things, but you'd be amazed. It's always a bunch of weird crap. So
true. I'm going to go for the satellite tower because it's. I mean, there's at least 10 different satellites on it, and along with some solar panels to run it maybe, or to run the stuff downstairs. I'm not sure, but
to keep the canisters of hazardous waste warm.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's my choice.
Okay. What about you, Matt?
I'm really enjoying the classic little Nextel Motorola flip phone that's on the table at 2nd 11.
Ah, so good. That was that's the phone that he used to call to have Naya released into the wild.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like. I mean, I'm as I said, I'm a child of the millennium, and my commercials were filled with "Hey, where you at?" Brrr, kind of thing going on. And yeah, kids won't get that. But yeah, it was a literal. I think wasn't it like a walkie-talkie in your phone that didn't use your minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Motorola. Motorola's the one who came out with that first.
It was dope. And
everybody everybody had it. The work people I knew had them.
And this is definitely like that work phone too. It's like rugged. It can be worn on a construction site. You're good to go.
Yep. You go into Home Depot and those things are going off everywhere.
Exactly. Down 2 aisles.
It's like, what do you want me to get? 2x4s? What? Nails?
Oh, what kind of nails?
Yeah, over.
Chris, what about you?
I'm going to go with the mask that Tom is wearing. That isn't really a mask. The CG mask of stamp over Ethan.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's our last mask of the movie.
Yeah.
So you should definitely go for it.
I did.
I can and I did.
I can and I will.
Speaking of cans. I'm going for the hazardous waste because I've never seen it blow up like that. So that's my tech.
That was a close second for me. It definitely was.
Oh, yeah. Same.
I'm like, I love it when they're just like, we probably didn't think this through. Oh, well, too late. Production, go.
I love stainless steel random canisters that randomly blow up.
Mm-hmm.
They're great.
They are great. It's a good tech. Let's talk about you guys for a couple minutes. This is Monday, so we do plugs. So I'm gonna start with you, Matt. What would you like to plug? You can plug anything you want.
Well, I'm currently doing a podcast called The Independence Day Minute. We go over the movie just like this one, except only three times a week. The movie Independence Day, 1 minute at a time. My hosts, Alex and Johan, help me out with this. Sometimes both, sometimes none, sometimes with guests. But we do that, once every 3 days a week.
Once every 3 days a week.
Yes, it's
so twice a week.
Tri-weekly podcast.
A tri-weekly podcast.
Now, is that three times a week?
Once
or is
every
that
three
every
weeks.
3 weeks?
That's one every 3 weeks.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yes.
Okay. Thomas, what about you?
I am currently part of a bi-weekly bi-weekly?
Yeah, every 2 weeks. Yes.
Bi-weekly podcast where we play D&D, and it's called Crit Stormcast. We're quite a few episodes in now and having a great time with it. Jonathan here was nice enough to do our intro and our outro, and it sounds amazing.
That's because I had a cold. So my octave range went down about 10 decibels. I'm talking like this.
It's fantastic. I really love it. And I've gotten several comments about how great the intro is. But yeah, we played D&D.
You haven't sent it to me. You have to feed my ego, dude. Come on.
He did our intro for both our segments because on the alternate weeks, we have another segment called Eye of the Storm where the DM talks about.
So you do the show every 2 weeks, but every other week.
The in-between weeks, like where we don't do the actual play, is when he has Eye of the Storm. And he'll talk about different subjects like this week we have where all our guests are female because it's Women in Gaming Month. So we're talking to different females, and he did one-on-one shots this week. So
that's fun.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thank you. Thanks for being on, guys. And we'll be on all week and talking about stuff. Chris, you got anything you want to plug?
No, not today. All right. Maybe Friday.
I ask you every day, and you never do. So it's just fun.
No, I'm pretty cool. I got nothing to plug.
You know where we are, MinuteImpossible.com, Patreon.com/MinuteImpossible. If you want to buy merch, please go to MinuteImpossible.com and click on the link, and you can look at t-shirts that we make about this show. I'm wearing one right now.
Woo!
It says, man down, Ethan. Man down.
Man down, Ethan. Man down.
Well, there'll be more shirts this year for all the goofy jokes that we talk about in this show. So until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Thomas.
And I've been Matthew.
This minute will self-destruct.